Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. If you want more out of life, if you want to own more real estate, you know what you need to do? You need to think bigger. We're going to talk today about adding a zero to your thinking on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Hi, this is Patrick Donahoe of Paradigm Life. Wall Street and banks spend billions of dollars per year in advertising with the goal to convince you that they are the solution. But take a look around. None of their advice has worked. The number one concern of all Americans is still money. So are you ready for another way? I've spent the last 10 years teaching people like you a superior way to build wealth and financial independence outside of Wall Street. I've developed a free e-learning program called Infinite 101, where you can learn about the perpetual wealth strategy. In this free program, you'll learn how to build your wealth without a 401k, IRA, or mutual funds. You'll also learn how to establish private financing without ever having to walk into a bank again. These are just two of the many ways this free program can propel you toward financial independence. Simply go to paradigmlife.net and click on the register button on the top right corner of the page to gain instant access.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, it's our co-host and financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, we've had the great opportunity over the years to get around a bunch of really brilliant people, and that's kind of a recurring theme on our show. And the biggest thing I think that they add to our lives is they have us thinking differently and thinking bigger. Right, if you hang out with people that are just like you, you know, earning about the same amount of money, doing the same kinds of things, if you love your life and everything's good, don't change any of that. But I think the fastest way to kind of step up your game is to spend time with people that are expecting that.
Yeah, I say all the time, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And sometimes it's a little intimidating. You get around super smart people, very high achieving people, really hard working people, hard driving people. You get around people who have accomplished and achieved a lot. And it's easy to look at their achievement compared to whatever you've done and think, oh, well, you know, I'm inadequate. But what I've learned as I've gotten a chance to be around these types of folks is that they're extremely gracious. They're very generous in terms of their time and their wisdom. And they're happy to share. They're also extremely curious. While they might be very expert in what they're great at, they're also lifelong learners. Almost every single person, without exception, asks as many questions as they talk. And so that's always fun. So it's really been a lot of fun. And as we've gone through this journey of post-2008 and rebuilding and getting out there and kind of taking our personal game to the second level, a lot of times we were reaching out to people who are a little bit older. And every once in a while, you meet a really dynamic young person. And of course, the older I get, they're all looking young, you know. But you get a chance to meet these people that have come from different walks of life. And one of the things that we really were interested in as we started looking at our very U.S.-centric business and very U.S.-centric investment portfolio, we thought, you know, there's a big world out there. And when we started going interstate, it was a big step. I remember the first time we were going outside of our home state and we were in other states, but we were kind of in the same basic region, you know, the Pacific, the southwestern United States. Then pretty soon we were in the middle of the country, and pretty soon we were all the way on the other side of the country. And then we were getting down into Mexico, and well, this is interesting. And then one day you were off in Australia, and I'm like, really, dude, Australia? That's crazy. But there are people who actually have global businesses, global portfolios, global interests. And the more I travel, the more I've realized the world is a lot smaller than I thought it was. And all of the different people out there and the different cultures all have a lot in common. There's really a lot to be gained by having that kind of perspective. And if I wouldn't have met you, I would probably be still very small in my geographic footprint. But because you were a lot more traveled than I was, a lot more adventurous than I was, you stretched my thinking. And of course, you and I together have met people that have taken our collective thinking to a whole new level.
Including the man you're about to meet today, who travels more than we do by a lot, has visited more places than we do by a lot, and is younger than us by a lot. You know, this idea you talked about, you know, feeling like people are more accomplished. Brian Tracy says everyone at the front of the line was once at the back of the line. And they got in line, and step by step, little by little, they got to the front. Now, not everyone that starts at the back of the line ends up at the front of the line, because some get bored, some get tired, some get frustrated, some decide to get in a different line. But success leaves clues, and you're going to get a whole bunch of them today when we come back and introduce you to Simon Black, today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2017 Goals Retreat, January 6th through 8th in beautiful San Diego, California. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the hundreds of people that have attended. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com and click events or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2017 Goals Retreat on the first weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18, today.
Hi, I'm Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Listen up.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. No matter how do you do that, we are happy to be in New York City this week for our show. And who did we run into? Our good friend Simon Black. Welcome back, sir.
Just right out on the street. I was just out pedaling for change, and Robert and Russ were kind enough to drop a few nickels in my bucket.
There you were.
Appreciate you guys.
Yes. And, you know, you had to earn it, so you're going to be on the show today. So if you don't know, Simon is not only a good friend, but probably the only single email I read every single day without exception is Notes from the Field, which you've been writing for many years. And you're always in a different part of the world. You do a lot of traveling and all that. And before we're done, we'll tell you how you can hook up with everything Simon does, because it's all amazing. I'm a big fanboy, that's for sure. But let's talk about your real estate story. You kind of early in life fell into real estate investing and kind of did pretty well and figured your way around. How'd you get into real estate? And tell us that story.
It is my purple book story, as you guys call it. I, like a lot of folks, read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I just graduated from the academy. I was 21, I want to say, very early on. And I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it was great. It really crystallized and put together so many things that I had been thinking, and took my thinking beyond a current level. Where the biggest thing I think it did for me was led me to the question I think everyone really ought to ask is, why not me? You know, all these things you sort of always hear about people doing, investing in things, buying, you know, large investments, apartment complexes, and developing property and so forth, all within the real estate context. Those always seem, you know, and I grew up in a lower middle class household. It's always seemed like things other people did,
yeah,
you know, or quote, rich people did. I'm doing air quotes, you know, and somehow reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad not only crystallized so many things that I had been thinking, but really gave me the kick in the ass to ask that question, why not me? I can do that too. And so I did. I remember it like it was yesterday, driving down the road, and I walked into, and it had to do with a specific market. I was in the military. I was a young lieutenant at the time, and a very kind of specific real estate market related to temporary duty assignments and things
sure.
like that. I won't get into the technical specifics of it, but basically I came up with this idea about what I thought would work in terms of a particular real estate project. I was just driving down the road, and I saw this. I was a Century 21 office right there, and I thought, why not me? Why not now? Screw it. Now. I'm just going to. So I stopped the car. I parked. I walked inside. I was in full uniform. I was wearing desert camouflage back then. I walked into this guy's office. There was one guy on duty that particular day, this real estate agent. I said, hi. You know, I'd never done this before. I didn't know really what to say. I just said, I had this idea for something that I want to do. Can you help me? We sat down. We started talking. I said, here's the opportunity that I'm thinking about. And this is kind of what I need. I need a, you know, efficient unit that's low maintenance, that has this kind of size bedroom and multiple bedrooms of the same size with ensuite bathrooms and so forth. And the guy opens up his desk drawer and says, you know, I got just the thing. And he opens up his desk drawer and he pulls out this stack of paper. It was 14 condominium units that were in pre-foreclosure. So the owner wasn't able to pay his note anymore. And it was the sort of this classic kind of no money down deal where all I had to do was sort of pick up the payments
yep.
from this guy. And there was a lot of built in equity there. This was back in, when real estate was still really cheap.
Yep.
And so I'm embarrassed to tell you how much they cost, but it was a lot of money at the time, but they're very, very inexpensive with lots of equity built in. And that was basically, how I was able to get started. And the most important thing for me was learning how to learn. Because I didn't really know anything about real estate. I didn't have any real estate experience. I was 21 years old. I didn't have experience in anything. So it was a very steep learning curve, but I didn't really know. So I didn't know even what I didn't know. And for me, that was the most important thing, was trying to figure out how to learn and figure out how to figure out what I didn't know,
right?
If that makes sense. And the only way I was able to do that, I started reading a lot of books and so forth. But the biggest movement in the needle came from two things. One was obviously more experience. And so the more deals I did, the more I really started to figure out what I didn't know and what I had to learn, how to improve from next time. And I think that self-assessment mechanism is so important. And it's not even a skill. That's an on-off switch. It's binary. You either do it or you don't. It's a habit, not a skill. And it's something that we, I have an annual entrepreneurship camp that we do. And something we tell our students every year is that you must be ruthless in your self-assessment. Don't sugarcoat anything about your own performance, because you're only lying to yourself, and that affects you negatively in the long run. And if you really build that habit of constantly assessing what you're doing, is it working? What's not working? What didn't go right? How do I fix it for next time? What else do I need to learn? Because everything that you do, you'll learn more about what you don't know. And that's the most important thing to figure out, is what you don't know. Because once you determine what you don't know, then you can actually realize, oh, there's something I don't know that's important. And now I can go and actually allocate resources and time and energy and so forth to build that skill and build that knowledge. And so it was the experience in doing that. But more important even than the experience was the binary, willful self-assessment and going out and actually determine what wasn't working. The second thing was seeking mentorship. And that was far and away the most important thing. And in real estate, turned out to be very, very easy, because what I used to do, I had a lot of things that I figured out would work really well. But I spent a lot of time in the GIS, basically. So, I could pull up a map in my local area and just basically click on all these properties.
Yep.
And that was one of the ways I would find properties, is I would kind of look at all the listings. I'd just spend hours and hours and hours looking at all these public listings that were on the information server. And it would tell you everything. It'd tell you the purchase price, the property taxes, and the owner. And the same names kept coming up over and over. And I started keeping my own internal database of people that seemed like owned a lot of property. And then I just started reaching out to these guys, and because they had, I knew how to find them, because their mailing information and so forth were all right there in the GIS. It's all public records. That's the great thing about real estate, is that, it's pretty easy to find these people. And so I reached out to a lot of people and I said, hey, I'm a young guy. I see you on a lot of property. I'm trying to learn a lot of things. I just really appreciate a few minutes of your time. Love to take you to lunch and so forth. And one guy responded, but that's all I needed, really. And this one person, he responded, said, yeah, sure. Meet me at such and such at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. And so I took this guy out to lunch and just kept picking his brain over and over and over again. And I learned so much. I learned so many lessons about management and tenants and marketing of the properties and all these things that, this guy had spent years and years and years in this business. And I was still, fairly new. I'd been at it for just a couple of months. And it was so important, because I realized, man, I spent $20 on lunch probably. And here I got to just suck all this knowledge that this guy had spent years and years and years building up, for $20. I mean, you look at the cost of university education in my comparison, and you don't actually use any of the stuff that you learn. And then here it was, for $20. I mean, what an incredible return on investment that was. And that's sort of been a big thing in my life my life has turned out completely different than the things that I do now. And, a lot of the things that I'm into. But those same two principles is the constant and ruthless self-assessment in terms of what's working and, seeking out people that are far more experienced and far smarter than I am, who can help me again, once I identify what I don't know, help me learn those skills and learn those things, and that helps me become a lot more successful.
Such a great story and such golden nuggets. You know, there are people out there who have a year of experience repeated 15 times instead of 15 years of experience. But the key is what you talked about, which is being open to the feedback, to continue to grow. Probably the best, greatest real estate investment ever is the $20 you spent on lunch. But then you take that and you learn what you've done, and you've gone on to do big, big project in different countries, agricultural real estate, lots of different investment, plus business ownership and all that kind of stuff. And a while ago, you were kind enough to do a call with our syndication mentoring club that kind of happened off the cuff. You planted a seed that night that really has grown in our group, which is this whole idea of adding a zero to your thinking. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think, again, it goes back to that me being that 21-year-old kid who I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and thought, yeah, why not me? I can do that too. That's not just something that other people do. So that sort of adds, in a way, you know, the first digit to the thing. You say, hey, why not me? And then what happens is you start finding incremental improvements, right? I'm ruthlessly self-assessing. I'm learning these skills. And so we start growing in some respects, maybe a linear fashion. What we find is that there's so many other possibilities above and beyond that, and we're only limited by our own thinking. Because anybody that, you know, whether you're a real estate investor or you're running a business or you're self-employed or so forth, we get so deep in the business of what we're doing, in our own investments, in our own professional services and so forth we're providing, that we lose sight of the bigger picture. And there's a, you know, there's a great saying, you know, and people say, if you're spending too much time in the business, then you can't spend any time on the business. And the whole idea is that it does really start limiting your thinking about what's happening on the outside. And I think only really when you step back and realize the big opportunity and say, you know, what I'm doing can be much, much bigger than this. As we say, adding a zero to what you're doing, even adding a couple of zeros, or we joked earlier, adding a comma, to your thinking. And when I got started, years ago, I was spending a lot of time raising capital, and you know this, and Russ, I know you know this. It's you know, raising $1 million can be really hard.
Hard work.
Raising $100 million is actually, in many respects, a lot easier than raising $1 million. And if you've never done it before, that seems completely counterintuitive. Yeah. But it really has to come down to the kind of people that you're dealing with. If you're raising $1 million, you have to talk to a lot of, you know, very small investors and so forth. When you're dealing with $100 million, you're talking to a handful of very large institutional funds, dealing with very sophisticated people that can make decisions much more quickly and rationally and unemotionally. And so that's an important factor. But this idea of really adding a zero, in many respects, starts with stepping back from what you're doing, part of that ruthless self-assessment, not only in the business of what you're doing or in your investment portfolio, but really stepping back and seeing, well, wait a minute, okay, I'm spending all this time buying and selling real estate in this, you know, sort of rural county on the, you know, on the border of South Carolina, but how do I apply what I've actually learned and the experience that I have to be able to leverage this 10 times more, 100 times over, and what are the requirements, what are the resources that I need in order to do that? So maybe instead of me doing every single thing myself, maybe I can actually train a group of people to be able to do that, to go out and start bird dogging more properties for me and start syndicating some more of these loans and so forth. And when you, if you actually focus on that, if you ask yourself a question, whatever it is that you're doing, how do I not improve what I'm doing? Because then we're talking about incremental improvements. How do I increase my efficiency? And how do I, you know, raise my, if you talk about real estate, how do I raise my rents and so forth? How do I refinance my properties and cut my financing costs? If you start asking yourself the question, how do I add a zero to what I'm doing? How can I actually expand and be 10 times bigger? And that becomes your focus. Your thinking does start to change, and you start seeing everything in terms of projects and procedures and so forth, as opposed to individual investments. You start building teams and all these things, which are, again, all these are really skills. Investing in real estate is a skill. Building a business around investing in real estate, expanding real estate projects, that's a skill. And just as you learn the skill of investing in real estate, you can also learn the skill of expanding your real estate operations, expanding your group, expanding your business and enterprise as a whole. Those are all skills, and just every skill is acquirable, whether it's some skill that you acquire personally to do it, or it's a skill that you bring on somebody else to help you do. But if you actually start with the thinking of how do I actually go out and do this, and what are the resources that I require, and finding people who have done it to start learning from them, because you don't know, again, what you don't know, and start shaping those, figuring out the unknowns, and learning those skills. This is something that I believe anybody can do.
Our guest today is Simon Black from SovereignMan.com. When we come back, you're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to The Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins April 1st, 2017 in Houston, Texas. Some alumni have already booked 60% of the cabins, but public registration is now open. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click on the tab that says Summit to learn more. We spend 2 days on land learning and networking, then jump aboard a luxury cruise ship for 6 more days of classes, roundtable discussions, great dinner conversations, and a ton of fun. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 15th annual Investor Summit at Sea. Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms, and if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits, the beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend 4 fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top 7 tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Chris Martinson, author of Prosper, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're so glad you're here, and we're thrilled to be in New York City with the one and only Simon Black. Always great stuff from Simon. Adding a zero or more to your thinking is our topic for today. Before we get back to the interview with Simon, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question. As soon as you hear the question and know the answer, you're going to want to quickly send an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com, trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to get you a copy of that book that changed Simon's life and lots of other people, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on the show, it was our Ask the Guys show. We love to take listeners' questions. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, just go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on Ask the Guys. Here was our trivia question. Where is the world's largest roadrunner? Well, built in 1979, Paisano Pete is known as the world's largest roadrunner. He's 22 feet long and 11 feet tall, and he resides at the intersection of Highway 290 and Main Street in downtown Fort Stockton. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Speaking of world's largest, where's the world's largest swimming pool? Yep, the largest swimming pool in the world. Now, if you listen to the Real Estate Guys regularly, you know that we asked a few months back where the highest swimming pool was, and that's at the top of a very, very, very tall building. This swimming pool is immense, gigantic, and lots of people swim there. Where is the world's largest swimming pool? If you think you know or just want to take a guess, send your best answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your physical mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you a copy of the multi-million-dollar selling book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. If you've already read it, you can read it again or give it to someone you care about. That's today's real estate trivia question. We are in New York City with the one and only Simon Black. Not your real name, by the way. One of the things Simon does is educates folks about lots of different angles of investing, living offshore, what we call planting multiple flags. Just we'll take a quick minute and talk about how Sovereign Man came into being because, again, as I said, I read notes from the field every day you put it out, and it's a lot of work to do that. From just one guy, totally appreciated. But watching your subscribership grow and grow and grow, you're onto something big, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that and all the kind words. Appreciate that very much. The site is just one of the things that I do. Ultimately, Sovereign Man, I'd like to consider a home for people that look at the world and see a lot of things askew, for people that think that the path to prosperity isn't in conjuring more paper money out of thin air or going deeper into debt. I have a very optimistic view of the world because I'm a firm believer in humanity and that the one uninterruptible trend throughout all of human history is the ascent of our species. We overcome every possible adversity that's thrown our way. We also look at all the publicly available, completely objective data and we say, look, maybe it's not such a good thing that the government of the largest economy in the world is in debt to the tune of $19,517,000,000,000 as of right now. And it's, you know, careening towards $20 trillion, 21, 22, 23, et cetera. And again, this is all publicly available data that the Congressional Budget Office puts out reports on a regular basis saying that our projections for U.S. total debt, you know, will exceed $25-30 trillion and so forth. These, you know, this isn't my thinking. This is the government itself telling us where the debt's going. Every year, the Board of Trustees of Social Security issues a report saying, here's where Social Security is going. By the end of this decade, and by the time we're talking about the next presidential election, Social Security will be cash flow negative. Meaning that they will no longer be able to invest their surplus, their now non-existent surplus, into U.S. treasuries, meaning that the United States government will lose its biggest lender. For people that aren't aware, you look at a number and say $19.5 trillion in debt. Who owns that debt? Well, the reality is that you do, because the biggest owner of U.S. government debt are the trust funds that are in their charge, primarily the Social Security trust funds and Medicare trust funds and so forth. Well, those trust funds are funds that are held in trust of the beneficiaries, ergo, the citizens of the United States. You're the guys that actually own that, all of that debt. And when you're looking at a country that now has 107% of its GDP, in debt and it's growing all the time, you know, we're just the guys that say, maybe that's not really a good thing. And that's not necessarily the path to prosperity. And so we look around and see all the times this happened throughout history, even in our own modern times. We saw what happened in Cyprus a couple of years ago. You had a government that's bankrupt, a banking system that was insolvent. And what do? They froze everybody's bank accounts and these sorts of things. So we just look at the publicly available data. I don't particularly like what I see. The Federal Reserve on a mark-to-market basis is insolvent. Even on a nominal basis, their capital level is less than Lehman Brothers had when Lehman Brothers went bankrupt in 2008. The FDIC fails to meet its minimum capitalization requirements that are set by the Dodd-Frank Act. Again, most of these trust funds, many of the actually major trust funds in the United States are actually insolvent already. And so we would simply hold the opinion that the path of prosperity is in production and savings and not in debt and consumption. So we just try and help people find the right way forward with that.
Well, and lots of great practical stuff, as you'll see when you go to sovereignman.com. There's great, inspiring information that'll get you to think differently, which is a big part. And part of that is exactly what we're talking about today. To add a zero to your thinking, or a comma better yet, you have to become a different person. You have to think differently and go through the experience of what it takes to grow. Building a team is a different skill set than investing in real estate. Both necessary to get to the next level.
I will slightly disagree with you, because I think in any successful real estate investment does require building a team. And this is one of the things that I realized early on. I was 21 years old doing my first deal. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting about real estate was that I was at the center of all of this. And I had, you know, I was dealing with appraisers and bankers and lawyers and brokers and had all these people. And I was sort of the epicenter of all of this, pushing this investment forward by sheer will. Yeah. If I didn't do it, nobody else was going to do it. And I had to sort of build a team. They weren't my employees.
Right.
But for the purposes of this one particular project, you know, we all had objectives, and I was in some respects the CEO of that particular investment, responsible for whatever happened or failed to happen with that investment. And it was my responsibility to marshal all those resources forward and carry the football down the field to make it happen.
Well, you know, it is interesting. It doesn't. No real estate investment happens in a vacuum or on its own. But when you're the one who is pushing, then your team is kind of your de facto team, as opposed to the idea of sitting. Well, who would I want to enroll in my team?
That's
you meet a great title officer or an excellent mortgage person. And you go, you know, okay, this isn't just a transaction. I'm now building a team.
Right.
But it's a great distinction you make that you don't necessarily have to have someone on payroll to have a team.
That's right. Absolutely. And sometimes that anybody that's run a business knows is sometimes you really want to have people internally. Sometimes you don't want to have people internally. And there's no real one size fits all solution. But ultimately, I think to get it to the next level, to get anything to the next level really does require that thinking of how do we really expand, and expansion and success and all these things really come down to talent. And the more talent you have at your disposal, the more success you'll be able to come, the more you'll be able to actually add that zero to your thinking.
Well, and let's talk about kind of the evolution, right? So you had some success. You have grown a successful business. I'm just thinking about your holdings and businesses and real estate, not necessarily what you do at Sovereign Man. What did you come up against? What were the hard parts to get through? Because I think what happens is when people say, okay, I get it, I want to do more and I have more, and they try to step out, they're outside their comfort zone or they're outside of their ability, they get slapped back. You're able to overcome those things. Talk through some of that.
Well, again, a lot of it comes down to the two things that I was talking about earlier, the idea of the ruthless self-assessment. I cannot stress enough how critical that is. And constantly seeking mentors. And what's interesting, and I know you guys have probably had this experience as well, there reaches a certain point where you pass your mentors by and you have to find new mentors and constantly find people that know more than you do. And as you grow, if you're doing it right, then you do have to constantly find new mentors because you've learned what you can from the people that you've been dealing with. And now you do have to go a bit beyond that. And that takes time, really, to find somebody that you trust and whose guidance and advice you can rely on and learn a lot of lessons from. And it's, I think that both of those things are constant journeys to continue to self-assess and continue to find mentors. My own, and sort of my big picture self-assessment and the thing that I know that I have issues with is the way I work, and the way I work best is, I expand, let's say, horizontally. I get involved in a lot of different things. I have my own bank. We own a whole lot of different websites. I just bought this large company in Australia. We've got one of the largest agricultural producers in our region, and thousands of acres of productive land and all these things. And so we're constantly sort of building new pieces and inserting those pieces into an ever-expanding pie. And that's very, very interesting. But clearly, a single person can't handle all of those things. And so,
right.
What I found is that if I'm trying to run multiple businesses, multiple projects, you get a little bit done on everything, but not a lot done on anything. And focus is so critical. So now what I've sort of learned out of my own ruthless self-assessment is that I don't get involved in anything unless there is a clear driver, general manager, CEO that I can put on underneath, depending on the size of of that enterprise. I think CEO, by the way, is one of the most overused and misused terms in business. I see this a lot with people. Everybody wants to be the CEO of something, but that's a different story altogether.
Yes.
But anyways, unless there's some key driver, again, somebody that I can hand the ball to and say, here, you have to score. This is your responsibility now. I just don't get involved in it anymore because I realize that my limiting factor is really my own time.
Right.
And that's very, very finite. And splitting that more than really, I think, two, maybe three ways is just not going to happen. You're never going to make any progress that way. And I see a lot of people, particularly when you're coming up. I was doing this a lot myself. You just want to say yes to everything. Everything seems like a great opportunity. And sometimes the hardest thing to learn is what to say no to and realizing that you have to prioritize the most finite and valuable resource you have, which is your time. And the more things that you take on, the less time you have to invest that resource in yourself, in that thinking. That's how you get bogged down in the thinking that prevents you from being able to add a zero. Because you're just too busy, because you're saying yes to everything and juggling 20 different opportunities at a time, not getting a lot done on anything, and too swamped to step back and think, how do I add a zero to this?
It's easy to say yes. It's hard to say no.
It's very hard to say no.
Especially because, you know, the whole thing about if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Don't give it to someone sitting around twiddling their thumbs. But at the same time, the only way you can really grow is to be able to delegate. And I've watched you build not just a team, but a great team. I mean, you've got people that are very complimentary. They maybe think differently, maybe think the same, but you've got some amazing team. I also know that you've, you know, had some of the wrong people in the wrong seats occasionally. Talk about that part of it. How do you build a team that gets you, that sees your vision, and that you can play well together with?
Everybody has a different way of doing it. I came out of the military, and so I learned a lot about management and leadership and team building in the military. And as well, I think it's also part of my personality is I tend to be probably heavy on delegation, but I also maintain very, very high standards. And so there's you know, when you're building a team, particularly when you're starting from zero and trying to raise up from there, there's a lot of experimentation because you don't quite know exactly what skills people have. And as you're building a team and you're growing a team, then you take people on that have certain skills. And a huge part of your responsibility is to actually grow the people under you. That's where you get the maximum return on investment, is helping develop the skills of the people underneath you. So if you have, for example, become a really great real estate investor, you've just nailed the 1-4 resi market, you know, in your area where you are, you might actually find that you need to do fewer deals in the next year so that you can allocate more of your time mentoring the people that are underneath you. You become the mentor. You're still being mentored by somebody else who's added already a zero or a comma to their thinking and their net worth. But you're going to have to spend less time doing deals, more time coaching and mentoring the people under you so they can essentially take over the responsibility you're doing. And then you really can multiply your efforts. And then it becomes, in many respects, exponential, because then they start mentoring and coaching the people that you bring on after that. But it takes time, and it takes a serious, dedicated effort to be able to do that.
Awesome stuff. Hey, speaking of dedication, I want to ask you about something that you do every year, and that's your entrepreneurial camp. This is something you've been doing for many years, and it's a great, great thing for you to be able to take young people and help them to see a bigger vision for themselves. How did that start? And tell us what you get out of that.
This has been, let's see, we started in 2009 was the first one that we did. So it's been, we just finished our seventh, whatever it was.
Wow.
Just a really, really special time. It's the one thing that I do every year that I just block off that's completely sacrosanct. I told you guys earlier, we punted this official delegation, the prime minister of the country and so forth, because they wanted to schedule a meeting with us during our entrepreneurship camp.
Right.
We do it every year. We get just an overwhelming number of applications. We do video applications, people from all over the world. And we accept about 50 people. Our selection rate at this point is becoming more competitive than even Harvard. And it's basically 5 days every summer. And I bring on the most successful people that I know who are very good friends of mine. And we spend 5 days trying to, I would say our primary goal is to help people understand what they don't know. Try and shine a spotlight on the things that they probably don't know so that they can, you can't possibly teach somebody everything that they need to know in 5 days or 5 years.
Right.
But you can sure help them understand what they don't know and point them to the resources to help them learn those skills. And help them understand, you know, where we messed up and where a lot of things that we've done that we found have helped us achieve more success. And it's a great experience. We get students from all over the world, from, you know, Zimbabwe to Mongolia to, you know, Colombia, and just all over Europe and North America and the South Pacific. It's just – it's a really, really amazing experience. We love it, and we do it every single year. It's called Sovereign Academy, and we have a website up, I guess, sovereignacademy.org. People are welcome to check it out. We do it one time a year, and the next one will be in July of 2017. So there's a lot of time to learn about it and think about your application video, because you're competing against a lot of people who also want a slot. But I can guarantee it's well worth it.
Yeah. And I know you watch every one of those videos and
I do.
You decide.
I have no life for like 4 months while I watch all the application videos.
Well, it's a huge pebble in the water, and it's masterful the way you've been able to put that together. And of course, when you get good people together and give them good ideas, great stuff happens. And this is the other thing. People who read a lot of your stuff, you talk about a lot of what's wrong in the world, but it's always with this bent that there is the optimism. You'd never bet against humanity. And these aren't times to be scared. These are times to be prepared.
That's right. To me, it's very simple. I mean, we can see the thing is that nothing's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, what we're talking about are trends, right? We can see, for example, that, you know, the United States government continues to go deeply into debt, that Social Security is its primary lender. We can see that the debt of the United States is expanding at its most rapid pace since the financial crisis. Even in a time of right now, relative stability, it makes me concerned to say, well, wait a minute. If the debt's expanding so rapidly now and everything's all good, then what happens in the next recession? What happens if there's another financial crisis? The debt, I mean, where does the debt level go there? And oh, by the way, you know, they're going to lose their biggest lender in the next 4 years. And so what happens there? That doesn't mean that the world's going to come to an end tomorrow. But to me, it's pretty obvious when you can see, you know, some fairly clear dates on the calendar and say, okay, we're going to have a major hurdle in 4 years' time. I mean, that's obvious. And again, don't take my word for it. The Treasury Secretary of the United States is the one telling us that in writing and puts it out there to anybody that's willing to listen. And so I just happen to be one of the people that's listening and says, okay, that's going to be a problem. Maybe we should just take some steps now to do something about it. And by the way, these steps aren't, you know, let's go hide in a bunker somewhere and hold up signs that say the end of the world is nigh. No, that's not the case. There are
people doing that.
I know, but there's a lot of people doing that. And I'm not one of those guys.
No.
I'm the guy who thinks that there's a lot of opportunity in the world. I've been to over 120 countries. I've seen all over the world such tremendous opportunities. And to me, the solutions are pretty simple. I mean, you take appropriate steps based on some pretty obvious and clear risks, but these are things that sort of make sense no matter what. I spend a lot of time talking about, banking and financial investments and so forth. And, you know, I say, okay, look, I got option A. I can buy some overpriced stock that's trading at 350 times earnings. I'm not going to mention any names like I usually do. On the other hand, we have this other company that's this, you know, well-managed company by people of integrity that's selling for less than the amount of cash that it has in the bank.
Right.
I'm not going to be any worse off from that. You know, my downside's really protected. And so that's sort of the whole strategy is to protect your downside and make sure that you're open and available to all this, the great upside and all the opportunities that are out there. And it's fairly easy to be able to structure yourself that way. And, you know, we just try and keep hitting that message and, you know, present some pretty obvious and compelling solutions to people.
Absolutely. And I know I have, as many, many folks who listen to our program, appreciate Notes from the Field, which is a great starting point. Every day of the week, pretty much Simon or one of his trusted folks put out Notes from the Field. You can read it in just a couple of minutes, and I do not miss it. You can sign up for that free service at sovereignman.com and delve into all the other things that are on Simon's plate. As always, my friend, thank you for your time. It's been great to have you back on the show.
It was great to run into you out there in New York. Thanks for the lunch money.
Yes, spend those nickels well.
Yes, I sure will.
And,
thanks so much.
Until next time. Return to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, this is Phil Collin from Def Leppard and Delta D. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. We're here in New York City this week. Love to get to New York. It's just such a cosmopolitan place, and literally, you never know who you're going to run into.
Yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah, well, actually, the odds are in our favor. We sat and did our calendars for the year a few weeks ago, Russ and I, and we reached out to Simon because we're planning some things, and his calendar's hard to get on, and we talked to him. We said, where are you guys going to be? And we looked at our schedules, and he goes, you know, you're going to be in New York. I could come to New York. So he wasn't really out on the street panhandling. He strategically came here to meet with some folks, including us, and we're always honored to be around that guy.
It's a great opportunity, and there's a couple things I like about Simon. One is, I mean, that just tells you his mentality, that the world is very small. I think of it that way. Like, I have a meeting. Oh, I'm in California. I have a meeting in Phoenix or Las Vegas or Texas or whatever. And I just jump in a plane the way a lot of people would jump in a car and just take a drive, right? And so I've kind of learned to think that. But these cross-country flights or international flights, I'm still not at that level of thinking, you know? And I'm learning how to be more productive when I'm sitting in an airplane seat or in a hotel room or in the back of a cab or wherever I happen to be. But Simon is just one of those kind of guys. But the other thing that I really like about him, especially, and even though he doesn't do as many events, say, as we do, but when he does put together groups of people, high level people. And so one of the things he's great about, he kind of opens his world up. So if you get to know him, you get to know the people in his world. And so the package of knowing Simon Black has been a lot more than just spending time with Simon, but spending time with Simon's network. And that's been fabulous. We've met some of our favorite people now, actually having been hanging around with Simon.
And on the other side of that, we've been able to introduce some of our favorite people to Simon. And that's how it works. Being a connector is the greatest job on earth. And it's not even a job. It's just something you naturally do. Two ways that people can generally think. One is scarcity. There's not enough to go around. I'm going to get mine before you get mine. Everybody's competing. And to some degree, there's validity in that. And the other is abundance. There's more than enough to go around. And the more we just connect cool people to cool people and get out of the way, the better it can be for everyone.
Yeah, I think it really, if you think about this, we started off, Simon started talking about his rich dad, his purple book story. And that's really an idea. You know, Robert Kiyosaki took the time to put a concept, an idea, a transformational idea into print. You know, someone comes along and they buy that book, and all of a sudden they have this aha moment, and it changes them. It changes the way they see the world, the way they see themselves, what they want to focus their time and attention working on. And that shift in thinking creates dramatically different behavior, which creates dramatically different results. And so the thinking of abundance is this idea that I'm going to believe that if I go out into the world and I offer my best, that in return, the world will give to me its best. And that may sound kind of like, you know, airy-fairy, metaphysical, but I really do believe there's a lot of truth in it, just because it's been the experience of my life and the people that I've been around. And to the point when you start hanging around people that have achieved a lot, typically it's the ones that figure that out sooner and get out there and start giving sooner. And obviously, you know, Simon has done that, and it's been really a lot of fun to get to know him, because I had no idea when I first started reading Notes from the Field, and you're the one that told me about it, Robert. I had no idea who he was. I had no idea how old he was. I knew nothing about him.
We still don't know who he is. That's not his real name.
I know. He's the mystery man. But you start reading his work and you're like, wow, this is a well-read person. This is a guy that has a big perspective. And then we started learning a little bit more about his accomplishments and some of the people he was connected to. And I remember the very first time I met him, you know, today from my perspective, I mean, he's probably 20 years younger than I am. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for somebody that's been able to accomplish so much in such a short period of time. And what I really marvel at is how generous he is, just what a gentleman he is, and how he is so willing to share great ideas and not really ask for anything in return, but just trust that the world will return to him. And of course, he's done very well for himself.
So he's challenged you this week to add a zero to your thinking. Think about in your life what that could mean if you added a zero to your income, a zero to your holdings, a zero to your real estate. It's a great, great mindset. And then once you get there, as he said today, add a comma. All right. Well, big thanks to Simon Black for bending his schedule around the world to be in the same place as us here in New York. Always great to get around Simon. If you want to sign up for his free daily Notes from the Field, all you have to do is go to sovereignman.com. Next week on The Real Estate Guys, we're going to talk about delivering value to your tenants. We have an amazing guest. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of The Real Estate Guys radio show is brought to you by
Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.